Welcome to the Type 1 Lifting Podcast. Now enjoy the show. All right, guys, I want to tell you a little bit about Type 1 Lifting. So Type 1 Lifting is a clothing brand that proceeds of the shirts, the hats, and everything else go to the Children's Diabetes Foundation. This whole t-shirt company started from me taking care of a five-year-old girl from the emergency department at the Children's Hospital I worked at in Atlanta for a while back. I thought I needed to do a little bit more than kind of just talk about my story. So this is how I started the clothing line, because I wanted to show people that even though diabetics have this really bad disease, we can still do amazing things in our life, and diabetes won't stop, you know, stop us reaching our goals. So go check out type1lifting.com. And, you know, if you have any questions, you can always reach me out on Instagram. It's type1lifting, and hope you guys enjoy the show. Hey guys, we have a new sponsor for the Type 1 Lifting podcast. The company's called Liberté Lifestyle. So Liberté is a French word meaning freedom, and the company was founded on the desire to have freedom to choose what we want to do with our lives. I actually had the owner, Nicole, on my podcast on episode 28, so if you want to go back and listen to her, she talks about how she started the company and what she wants to do in the future with the company, which is pretty cool. So they actually have knee sleeves, wrist wraps, shirts, shorts. Love the knee sleeves. I have the ice cream knee sleeves, and I love them so much. They haven't, the neoprene's still good. The seams haven't split compared to other knee sleeves that I have had in the past, and I'm planning to keep these for a very, very long time. So Nicole actually gave me a promo code for you guys too. So it's all capital letters, T-Y-P-E, and the number one. So it's type one. So go to libertelifestyle.com, check out what they have in the store, use the promo code type one, and save some coin. Now let's go to the episode. All right, guys, welcome to the Type 1 Lifting Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. I have a very interesting guest, but he needed a phone a friend, so he asked for Xander Fallick. So this is your mom's favorite weightlifter, Mr. Stay Beefy, Nick O'Sullivan. How's it going, man?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. So actually, Xander sent me your Instagram page, and I was like, holy shit, like you have like 100K and like killing it on the reels and everything like that. And I'm like, I got to get you on just to like see, like, you know, how you started CrossFit. And I was reading a little bit about your backstory. I think you started in football for like before you even started with CrossFit.
Yeah. So, I mean, I grew up playing like every sport under the sun, like soccer, baseball, wrestling, football, but naturally grew into football because my dad played football, played college and all that, and fell in love with it. And then that was my primary sport. High school, did track, basketball and football, and then was able to play a little bit of college in or football up in college in Linfield, Oregon. Okay. I only did about 2 years there, broke my foot, and decided that I just kind of wanted to have like the college experience. Football is my main background. And then after college, or actually towards the end of college, I started getting into Spartan racing. Have you heard of that?
Yep.
Like horse racing, that kind of stuff. So yep. I got into that because like growing up too, we'd always have like these triathlons and biathlons like in our backyard, kind of over by like Folsom Lake. So I grew up doing like a bunch of mountain biking and trail running. And so I just love that whole like adventure aspect of it. And so I just felt like right into Spartan racing. It was just so much fucking fun. So much fun.
You could swear. It's okay.
So like right when I started doing that, like I got hooked on it fast. And so I started like doing more and more and more. And then I started to get like pretty damn good at it. So I was like starting to get like top 10, top five. And then I finally like hit the podium, like my first elite race, and then started, yeah, just getting really good at those. So I did that whole circuit for maybe like 4 years or something. Mm-hmm. So I considered myself like a runner and not a pretty good engine. And then I moved to Colorado to be able to train at altitude to get a lot faster and to be able to train in the mountains. But then literally like 3-4 months into my move to Colorado, COVID happened. And so, you know, the great state of Colorado decided to like
the old panty came out of the closet.
The old panty.
And, The old Pandy came out of the closet and decided to like, oh, you want to move to Colorado? Well, have fun masking up and staying at home.
Right. So that was a shit show. And then the way that Spartan Race kind of handled that entire situation kind of pissed me off. And I mean, looking back at it now, it's like not their fault trying to like operate a business in like a chaotic time. But it was kind of like, they're like, no, we're still going to do this race. And so it's like, all right, I get my flight, I get my hotel, I get there. And they're like, the day before, they're like, sorry, we got to cancel it. And I'm just like, all right, fuck you guys. And then like, I lost all my sponsors and whatnot. And so that kind of pissed me off too. And so then we were just kind of sitting there with our thumbs in our asses, because it was like me, Hunter, Kempson, Luna Lemurs. Shit, who else was in that training house? Anyway, we would all train like for these like together. And then so my buddy Hunter McIntyre started like start doing like some YouTube stuff, and he had gone to the CrossFit Games like a year before, 2 years before.
Yep.
So for context, this is all like, what is it, February, March of 2020 is when you picked up a camera?
Yeah, that's when I started picking
up. Okay. And then so, and then Hunter was one of the national qualifiers for during that CrossFit Games Open. I'm just trying to give more context to the people at home.
Was it 2020 or was it not 2019 when he went to the games? I can't remember.
It was 2019 when he went to the games. Yeah. I think, because that was the big, like, let's invite everybody. Yeah.
So this is him kind of like fresh out. And so anyways, he wanted to like start filming like YouTube shit. And I was like, all right, why don't you train? Like, do you think you can make me like, do you think you can get me to like the CrossFit Games? And he was like, definitely. So I was like, all right, bro, let's do it.
Which is the most like, just like, ah, we're stuck at home. Like, yeah, we're all going to the games, baby.
Exactly. It was like, oh, I can fucking make it to the game. I was like playing like the 4 year plan. It's like, all right, I'll give myself like 4 years of training and then like make a shot at the games. But like, I've come to terms, like, that's just out of the question for me. And that's all right. I'm all right with that. I just want to compete and have fun and do all that stuff and compete to the best that I can. But that was kind of like where the start, I want to say like my CrossFit journey began, but like I started like doing like a couple CrossFit workouts, and then I kind of realized like, I'll take like the Matt Frazier approach, where it's kind of like, he had like a background in like Olympic weightlifting.
Yep.
So I was like, all right, so I'll take like the next 2 years and just do like strict weightlifting. I'll cross my fingers and hope that I can like keep my engine from all the Spartan racing. And then like the next 2 years, I'll start incorporating like CrossFit, because I consider myself an athlete. Like, I can figure out how to like walk on my hands and do all the gymnastic shit. So that was kind of like my whole game plan going in, was, all right, I was already like really fast, great engine. I'll get super duper strong, and then I'll take 2 years, kind of put it all together, and then just like CrossFit it out. And so right now in my journey, I'm in like my first year of like CrossFit, trying to put it all together.
And Nick, for the people at home, how old are you?
28.
Thank you.
God, I'm so old. I'm so old.
I'm 28. You're not even.
Yeah. Well, I got at least, geez, I'm like four. I'm 43.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think right when I hit 43, that's when like I realized that like I need to warm up a lot better. Cause like 42, I could just like, I can go like no problem. And then like all of a sudden,
wait,
like,
that was the age. It's like 42. I'm good without warming up. Like,
yeah, I mean,
you're speaking to like, we're on the same level right here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would warm up. Like, I would do like lightweight, but I would like do like slight progressions, like, you know, 95, like a clean and jerk 95, like 135, then kind of like add tens and keep on adding tens. And I'd still do that. But then like, if I went up like 20 or 30 pounds, if I went up like 30 pounds more, it'd feel like 300 pounds. And it's just I can't do that anymore. I literally got to run, do wall walks or something, like just to even like warm up to like do lifts.
Exactly. So another thing was like, when I was like strictly like weightlifting, like I would keep hurting myself. So I've got like my back just kind of keeps getting like blown out. It's a lot of like imbalance work and a lot of stiffness, but I mean, that's really forced me to like really like dial in my warm up. So I spend like maybe like 30 to 40 minutes before every training
session. Damn. Yeah.
Getting warm. So I'll do like all my dynamic stuff, like all my jumping, and then I'll get like my hips loosened up if I need to, get my shoulders mobilized. And then I spend like at least like 5 minutes with just the barbell, maybe like 5-10 minutes with just the barbell, just doing movements, getting primed. And then, yeah, I pretty much start with like 95, 135, 185. I'll maybe make like 40 pound jumps, but like once I get to like 225, it's like 20 pound jumps, mm-hmm. up until, or maybe like 5 pound jumps up until I get to where I need to be, but depending on what I'm doing. But I take maybe like 45 minutes to warm up. And then lately I've been doing like probably like another 30 minutes, like after my workouts. And since I've been doing that, like I haven't had any like crazy injuries that have put me out for like a few days. But I mean, before that, it was, I want to say like every other month, like either like I'd pop a rib out or like my back would get out of whack. I'd like pinch a nerve in my neck. Something would go off. My hip would be all fucked. So, But I feel you on that.
Yeah. So how long do you work out per day?
Not that long. Well, if you include my warm up and my cool down, I think like my workouts take me roughly like an hour and a half on like a longer day. But with like my warm up and cool down, I'm looking at like 2 hours, 2.5 hours.
That's not too bad. Yeah. I literally have like an hour and maybe hour and 15 minutes maybe for me. So like, I literally have to like drive to the gym and then like work out and just try to get as much as I can in before I have to get out and like get my kids ready for school and stuff like that. So I'm like one of the psychos that does like 5 o'clock in the morning.
Gotcha. Yeah. What I love about like my programming and what Jeremy, my coach, does for me is it's like, it's very efficient and like to the point. So if I wasn't like, I'm not in a rush, like to work out. I'm very blessed and fortunate with like my day job and whatnot. Like I can kind of take my time, but like if I needed to, I can get my shit done in like 45 minutes if I needed to, but I can lollygag if I want to.
Which can't happen at Chalk Performance Training Gym.
There's a lot of people to talk to.
Yeah. So, a lot of athletes. So do you, are you, I know you do like videography and like all that stuff. So do you just do it for Chalk or do you do it for like other gyms as well?
So I have two of my main clients are Chalk and then Paragon Performance Training Methods. So they're pretty much like the same thing, just different companies, online training programs. And then I do like a lot of freelance work in the area and for other brands that reach out to me to do work with. But yeah, mostly like social media stuff, marketing, website, short form content, you name it. Mm-hmm. And then I'll do just editing because I've been able to link up with a lot of people in the gym that are like producers or they do like big production type stuff. And so they'll get like a lot of bids and a lot of gigs and they need like editing work. So I'll do like freelance editing. So just like a lot of random stuff coming in, which is really fun. A lot of fitness stuff, a lot of non-fitness stuff, but definitely being in that gym has opened so many connections, especially in like Newport, California. There's just so much business there.
Yeah.
So that's my day job.
Yeah. So how did you get involved with Chalk? Like, how did you like join the gym or it was like Ryan, like, hey, you know, you want to come down to work out or something like that? So how did that work?
So that's actually kind of funny. So this started when I was back in Colorado and I was doing all my YouTube videos for Hunter. And that like really started to take off and he wanted to move back to California and kind of do this full time. And he couldn't afford to like move me out just by like himself. And so he reached out to Ryan Fisher, who was also looking for like another video guy. And so we flew out there to kind of like link up with him and he wanted me to like shoot a little bit to like test me out and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And then that all went decently well. I mean, I was still like a beginner at the time. And so, and he's been working with like professionals.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like he wasn't like too hyped on me, but I mean, I'm still like blessed and like thankful for this guy for like taking a chance on me, but he said that he would split me with Hunter. And so once they agreed with that, I think 2 weeks later, I mean, I put my 2 weeks in and 2 weeks later I moved back out to California. And so that's how I got introduced with Fisher and Chalk. And I mean, it was a work in progress at first. I mean, he was I'll say he was tough to work with, but he's a very picky guy. Like he knows what he wants. And yeah. So, I mean, and it forced me to like up my game. It was like, all right, like I got to deliver on this guy, but I mean, I'd send him like maybe like 70 revisions of like this one edit until I got it right for him. And I mean, I'm very thankful that he did, because it just forced me to be better at my craft and try new things and open up to what, okay, I think this is cool, but he doesn't. So I got to deliver what he thinks is cool type of thing, or what he wants. And then, yeah, I just never gave up, and I just kept showing up and said, all right. And then send it back, and then he'd send notes back, and I'd send it back, and he'd send more notes back, and I'd send it back. But just kept doing that until I kind of figured out what he liked, and I was able to kind of just get it right the first time or the second time.
Yeah. So I'm a big fan of Ryan Fisher. I loved his podcast, like Chalk, you know, the podcast when he was on Barbell Shrugged, and like he seems like a very funny guy. So what is he like in person, other than like, you know, when you first met him, was he like super funny? Like what is he like?
He's a very genuine guy is what I've come to know about Ryan. I mean, he really cares about you. He wants to give you like all the opportunities, but I mean, you've got to like put in the work and like earn it type thing. Yeah. Very funny. He's got some inappropriate humor, which is also really funny. But, I mean, the dude's just a workhorse.
Yeah. Ryan's very much like what he sounds like on a podcast is how he is in real life.
He's very, very intelligent, and his work ethic is just beyond all others. I mean, the dude's up at like 4 a.m. and he's now in a position where, I mean, when I first met him, he was like doing like 5 different like online training programs. Like he's programming all these other ones. He's operating like the Chalk online business. He's trying to get this app developed. He's working on his websites and stuff. He's working on all of his marketing. I mean, it's a one man doing like the entire show. And I was like, Ryan, what the fuck, dude? Like, you need help. And so, but I mean, the dude was just operating on such a high level. So he was able to kind of like make it work. Kudos to him. But yeah, he's a very good guy.
Yeah, I've heard like on Sundays he just strictly does like training, like just does his programming for like the whole week.
Yeah, I met him at Starbucks, and he's there I think I got there at like 5 a.m. and he's like, I've been here for like an hour. He's just, like, in this dark room, and he's just like in the corner. He's like, I won't leave here all day. So like, damn, dude.
Yeah, that's crazy. So I know like filming Hunter and stuff like that, but like what was the drive to like become better at like, you know, your craft?
I just really like doing it. So I guess when I first started doing it, I kind of rewind a little bit. So when I was Spartan Racing, like my first sponsor was this company called Human Octane. They had like this high quality compression gear. And it was kind of the same thing. It was one man running the entire show. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like the whole social media aspect of it, and I was like, hey, can I like help you out, do like social media for you and whatnot? So he was like, all right. So I just kind of like took that over like for free, like he wasn't paying me or anything to do it. And then like a couple months later, he was like, dude, like I love what you're doing, I'm gonna start paying you, like, and I'm gonna make you the creative director. So I was like, sick. And so he's like, and so my mom was also a photographer, so grandpa's a photographer, mom's a photographer, so I was kind of like familiar with it all. So I started like using my mom's camera, started getting some better shots and whatnot. So that was kind of like introduced me into like the whole creative direction. And then when I got to Colorado, still at the camera stuff, I wasn't working with Human Octane anymore, but I would take pictures for like Nicole Miracle, who's like Spartan world champion. I'd do like photos for her sponsors, and I'd do like photos and stuff for like, just for like do shit for my friends, like whatnot. And then, yeah, when COVID happened, Hunter was like, let's make this serious. He's like, have you ever done like a YouTube video before? And I was like, no, but I could figure it out. And he's like, all right, let's do it. I mean, it was
very on cool. brand for Hunter.
Exactly.
We'll figure it out. It's like, got it.
Exactly. But I told him, I was like, I need a better camera in order to like do that. I think my first camera was a 5D Mark II. I spent like $400 on it. Mm-hmm. And then the Canon Nifty 50. And that was my setup. And then he got me like a really fancy camera. And yeah, I just started shooting these YouTube videos, and I'd be on YouTube, like watching like how everybody would like shoot them and how they'd put it together. And I try to like copy that to make it cool with their own little flavor in there. And then, I mean, at the end of the day, it was just kind of like, you put the video together to tell the story and how you kind of saw it. And I mean, filming Hunter was probably one of the coolest things ever, because he's like the funniest fucking dude in the world. You never knew what was coming out of his mouth.
Yep.
You never knew what he was going to wear, what he was going to do, what he was going to say. And it was just, I had so much fun working with him. And so that got me like really into like telling that story of like, I wanted to bring people in that experience, like they were hanging out with Hunter too, because I was having a time in my life. So I wanted people to experience that too. So that kind of made me want to up my game. And then, yeah, when I moved to California, it was just like it's a different ball game going from like filming a personality like Hunter to now I got to film more like clean, professional. Like, it's a different style than like all the stuff that I started doing for Chalk at the time. And so it was just kind of like learning new people, learning new styles. And if it was something that I mean, I moved to California and I didn't have like a backup plan or anything. I was kind of like all in, like, I got to make this work. So, yeah. So I was like, I adapt or I fall flat on my fucking face. And so I just adapted.
Yeah. So did you use iMovie for your first YouTube video, or did you use like Adobe?
No. So that was another thing. So when I worked with Human Octane, he had bought me Final Cut Pro. And so I was familiar with using Final Cut Pro, because that's what when I was filming with them, I was using the iPhone, but I mean, I was still able to like edit on Final Cut Pro. And I just got used to like learning that software. So I've always been on Final Cut Pro. That's the software I started using.
All the movies I'm doing right now are all in iMovie. So it's just like, it's a slow work in progress. I'm like, I just downloaded that free like DaVinci app, program.
You downloaded DaVinci for fun? You're a crazy person.
Yeah. I mean, well, I want to try it out. So like, I literally have, there's a YouTube video that I saved. I can watch like the whole process on how to do it. But I'm like, I need at least like maybe like a couple days to figure this out before I even like attempt it.
Maybe a few more days than that. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I used it a little bit. It's almost like so complex that it's just like, it was just too much for me. I mean, at the time where it was like Final Cut Pro, I was already used to like coloring, like color correcting, coloring, doing all my color grades on there, you know, speed ramping, transitions, like titles, like doing all that fancy stuff. Like you don't need to do anything like crazy fucking fancy. Like
no.
And we're not making movies out here. So, and then like sound design is super easy on Final Cut. So, I mean, and then I started getting on like DaVinci Resolve, and there's just like a bajillion fucking things you can do. And I was like, this is way too much. Like Final Cut Pro is just all the stuff that you need to get your job done. And so
I may delete it and get Final Cut Pro. So,
yeah, I mean, for me, it's just super easy, and I can teach somebody like super easy, like how to use it, how to make like base corrections and all like the stuff I do like on my social media is nothing fucking fancy at all. It's just like quick cuts normally. And then, I mean, I've made like color profiles for my videos that I use and whatnot. So I just slap that on, cut it, add some text, deliver. So I don't need anything complex. And then most of the stuff that I do for clients and whatnot, I don't need to like color, because they'll send it to like a colorist, or if they do want me to like color, it's just like super basic stuff. And so it's just like color correcting, tweak a few things, and then just like put it all like in a timeline that kind of like fits the script that they're doing. And Final Cut Pro does it all.
Yeah. Now I noticed you wearing Sharpen the Axe. So are you following the? All of us are.
Hey.
So do you follow Misfit or do you just wear their shit?
I just wear their shit. Xander hooked me up. He got me like 10 t-shirts, a couple sweatshirts, a pair of sweats.
I was like, it was like we were trying to go. What was it? Skydiving. It didn't happen. Yeah. I left that for him.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And so for him, he was just making a bunch of stuff and it was super cool and tagging us. And then they were like, hey, like, we want to send him stuff. We need his sizes. And then, like, I just was in Maine and I was like, I'm just flying exactly to the West Coast. Do you guys just want me to bring it? So I literally just was like, one drawstring bag that wasn't closing at all and just was like, here's a gift.
Hey, guess what, man. I was, and like, it was just like a pile of like 10 things. I'm like, oh shit, it's Christmas.
Because the best was like, we were just packing. It's like, what does he need? I'm like, well, he probably needs a couple socks. Like, what about sweatpants? I'm like, that man needs sweatpants. If there was anything that you needed, I was like, sweatpants is usually like a very easy thing to get anybody in the weightlifting CrossFit space. And I was like, here you go.
Yeah.
So how do you guys know each other? Like, how did this friendship start?
Oh, old Pandy. The old Pandy. Xander's so you got to go back. You got to go back deep into the Nick O'Sullivan, like, Instagram days to go find YouTubes with Hunter, but more specifically, go find long-haired Nick.
Oh, my God. Because
that was the first. I did have long hair. That's when I met you, was long-haired Nick. Oh, yeah. It was stallion hair this man had. And so
this was like buck 70 long hair running Nick.
Yes. And so that was Memorial Day weekend 2020. Because – Hunter was trying to break the world record on Murph, we did the Murph project in North Carolina. So I drove 17 hours straight to North Carolina in the middle of a pandemic because finding a flight May of 2020 wasn't really
good,
but it just wasn't easy. Mm-hmm. And nobody wanted to fly because we all were like worried we were going to kill each other if we were within two meters, which ended up not being the case. But it was just doing that, stayed at the house, and then really like me and him. So we did that. And then we saw each other again. What was it? We did the fall for the first OCR Stars.
Yes.
Then
let's just go back to the first time I met you.
Oh, that was a lot more fun for you than it was for me.
I knew Xander was gonna be one of my best friends forever when he drank like a whole tequila bottle to himself, started throwing up, drank some more. And then it's maybe like 2 a.m. This dude wakes up at 6 o'clock and has a 16-hour drive home.
Oh,
yeah, it was not ideal.
I was like,
I like to party. I like to dance. I like to dance. It's fun.
Nothing like war stories and Xander on a bottle of tequila.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad.
So note to self: if I see him, get him a bottle of tequila, and he's like all about it.
Yeah. I think he recovered.
Yeah. Allegedly. I feel like my liver still hates me for it.
Yeah.
So, but that was the first time we met.
So yeah, that's when we linked up, and then Hunter did like another event out in North Carolina, OCR Stars. Xander came out. And then
February of 21. No. Yeah. February of 2021. I came to California. I think you had just moved to Newport Beach.
Sweet.
Then stayed with you because we hung out that whole weekend. We did like one of the open workouts.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Then
that sucked.
Yeah, that sucked. It was for the people at home, it was the dumbbell snatch burpee box jump over workout. Oh,
yeah.
Spinal. It's spinal. And then what else did we do? And then a couple weeks later was High Rocks again. I think you were at the High Rocks top 10.
In Dallas.
Then when did we see each other next? And then it's like been back and forth. It all doesn't matter. Now we pretty much are just like, because I'm going to see him next weekend at TFX.
Yep. So speaking of which, you're actually doing TFX.
I am. It's going to be my first individual CrossFit competition. So I'm super stoked.
Yeah. So like what made you pick that instead of like Wadapalooza or any of those other events?
Well, I did media work for TFX last year and I thought it was really cool. And so I told myself I'd do it this year. And then we kind of like last minute threw together like a team for Wadapalooza and mm-hmm. the qualifiers were at the, well, we were going to fucking make it anyways. We went for like the highest division and it was like the same time as the TFX qualifier.
So Wada Blues is really hard to get into. What Nick's trying to say is he was like, TFX was realistic.
So, exactly. But I mean, I was with like Nick Roberts, who went to the games as a masters last year, David, who's like a freak of an athlete. Like, and me, I was like,
so the, like, just for everyone, like his team was stacked and like, yeah, like teams are just stupid stacked for
all that. I mean, I was like, so I went hard for like the TFX qualifiers and then trying to do the Wadapalooza qualifiers at the same time. I was just wrecked. And I definitely put the team down, but we weren't even close to qualifying, I don't think. So I was like, all right, eggs all in for TFX. And it kind of, I was like, I barely fucking made TFX. Did I tell you about that, Xander?
Yeah. Well, tell the people at home.
I mean, so TFX was like a 2 week long ordeal and Wadapalooza was like during like the last week of the TFX qualifiers
and criminally over programmed.
Yes.
In one man's opinion.
And so I did the because I was doing like basically like the first run through for the TFX was kind of like a tester to kind of like feel how it was. Mm-hmm. And then I'd like redo them like with a better game plan. So the last set of workouts, so for the first wave, I was sitting maybe like in like 30th spot or like maybe like 35. Jeremy was a couple ahead of me. I was close though. And then I did the Wadapalooza qualifiers and I was just fucking beat. And so I didn't give any of the TFX qualifiers like another run through because I was just dead. And I was just kind of cross. I was like, all right, I'm sitting pretty good. Like I'm all right with those scores. Like, I think I'll make it. Deadline's approaching. And I'm like, so they take the top 75. And I'm sitting at like, maybe like 49 or like 50, something like that. So I'm like, it's getting close to deadline. Like, I'm feeling pretty good. Like, I should be all right. Deadline hits and I'm like 59. So I'm like, oh, I'm good. I checked the next day. I'm sitting at 73. I was like, what the fuck's going on? I'm like freaking out. I'm like, dude, I'm two spots away from not even qualifying to this thing. But barely made it. Thank God. So
what are you planning what are you planning going to TFX? Like, what's the, do you have like a game plan or you're just kind of like saying like, since this is my first competition, kind of see how the flow is and whatever I place, whatever.
I mean, so they released the workout, so I'm gonna run through them so I have a game plan for TFX. But I mean, as far as like expectations on myself, like I have absolutely none. Like, I'm gonna go have fun. I have a goal. I need to beat Jeremy in just one workout. If I beat him in like one workout and get dead last everything else, I will be a happy man. Jeremy's my coach. He's been doing this for a while. But this is gonna just be like a big learning experience for me. You can only, since I like train by myself, it's hard to like learn my capabilities and like learn how to compete doing these workouts. Because you know, sometimes I'll go like way too hot. And sometimes I go like way too slow and like figure out what I'm good at, what I'm not good at, especially like in the heat of competition with all the adrenaline going. So this will just be like a really good learning experience for me. Good test of fitness. I don't really have any goals or expectations, but I mean, I'll give it the best I got and try to make, I don't know how like the whole thing works. If you like hit like top, I think like if you're like top 20, you get to like go to like the finals or whatever.
So if you're top 20 in pro, you go to the finals.
Okay.
If you're top 10 in any other division, it's, you go to the finals.
Okay. So
have we decided which workout we are really throwing it out and really thinking we're going to run it up on Jeremy on? From what they released, because they got the trail run.
I know. Is he fast?
Okay, Jeremy is a former military, retired, almost. Yeah. Almost, right?
Almost.
Almost. He's phasing out. Yeah, he's phasing out. So he's transitioning out. And so his background, I think it's long enough where you can beat him.
I'm going to keep him at my peripherals and just no matter what, I will die.
Yes. I'm hoping you guys are in the same heat because I really do think that's going to be the workout that you can whoop up on him, especially since it's in a vest. Like, he'll use that from, like, his military stuff, but I think you'll be able to.
I think so, too. So that one, I can't really remember any other workouts that I think. There's, like, a torque push thing and –
If you don't have a torque tank these days, shoulder. You can't be in a CrossFit competition.
Yes.
I think it's me. Yeah, I don't know what that's about. That and then like sandbag to shoulder. So, I mean,
I'm excited for the standard.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see on that one. Yeah. But, I mean, Jeremy's a fucking stud, so.
Yeah, Jeremy's a very good athlete, too. Jeremy's it's not like he's like, athlete. We're just trying to be like, oh, yeah, we're going to run up on our buddy who's not that. It's like, no, they're both very extremely fit. One just has a little bit more competition experience.
Jeremy's like on the borderline pro. Yeah.
Now, how did he become your coach?
That's another good question. This goes back to when we were filming Murph, the whole Murph project. It all ties together with working with Hunter in North Carolina. And
it all ties together with Xander and a tequila bottle, and everything starts there.
And life began. So he has been programming for people for quite a while. I don't remember how long or whatever, but essentially like
when I think he's almost at 4 years. I want to say
something like 4 years. And so when I was kind of finishing up, like in my head, like, okay, now I wanted to start getting to like CrossFit. that was when like I started to kind of like pick up on like social media, started gaining like a little bit of traction. And so I reached out to him and I was like, would you mind like programming for me and like whatnot? So he's like, yeah, I'll program for you. And then so our deal was like, I'd like try to get him clients and then he would program for me. And then I started sending like too many people his way. I wasn't able to like keep up with it. And so he's just been helping me program and really just like being a great friend for me and programming for me. So that's kind of how I got hooked up with Jeremy. And so we're trying to help expand the whole training program and his performance-driven life business that way. So I'm going to try to help him with that. But yeah, so he started programming for me probably about a year ago, probably close to about a year now.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you seen like a dramatic like improvement from his like coaching techniques?
Absolutely none.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
softball question. Sorry, softball.
Yeah. No, I really have. Just his like him like telling like giving me like coaching cues to like telling me like how to do a workout and then kind of, it's just a very efficient programming, like no wasted space. I'm not doing anything like I don't need to be doing. Like I get in, I get the work I need to get done, and then I'm done. Mm-hmm. And he's very good with like working around like my injuries and whatnot. But I mean, my numbers continue to go up, my times continue to go down. And I feel great. So, I mean, what he's doing is working for me. So I'm very happy with working with Jeremy.
Yeah. So were you like kind of tapering down for TFX or like kind of what's the whole process? Cause then obviously the CrossFit Open's coming up in a couple of weeks too. So like what's the whole program and scheduling for you for training?
So right now I'm peaking, getting like close to peaking. I think like peacocking, and then like next week we'll kind of like start the taper, kind of like wind it down a little bit and then get ready for Friday night. And I think we haven't even started chatting about the Open this year, but I think this year I'm pretty comfortable with my fitness level where I'm at now to just be able to kind of like cruise in the Open a little bit and then race out in the qualifiers and really kind of push those workouts.
Nick, are we going to post all of our scores for quarterfinals this year?
Post scores on time?
There we go. He's a cat. He had an Annika Greer moment last year, unfortunately.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're very strict on this shit. So
yeah, then they changed the rule this year, so it's really nice.
What? They changed it?
Yeah, they said like if you had like some mitigating circumstance or something that they'll adjust it.
Yeah, mine was that I was unaware.
That's what happened to Kelsey Keel like a couple of years ago too. She like was doing this thing for bodybuilding.com or something like that, and she did the workout there, but she forgot like the time difference, so she got all jacked up and didn't post it on time. So she was pretty much like out of like going to regionals and possibly the games too.
That happened to Ryan's girlfriend Zoe last year. She was like on track to go to the semifinals, and she was an orthopedic surgeon, or no, not an orthopedic. She was PA.
PA.
Or an orthopedic surgeon. Don't quote me on that.
She's a doctor?
Dr. Zoe? I don't know. I can't remember. She worked on like hips and knees and whatnot. And then, so she was in surgery and she already did the workout and she couldn't post her video.
Oh.
And they didn't accept it. And so she was, I think she would have. She was close to qualifying for semi. I think she would have qualified for semifinals. So I was like, damn, that sucks, idiot. No, I'm just kidding.
shouldn't have been a surgeon.
Yeah, you shouldn't have done surgery. It's all your fault. Whatever.
Like, why are you helping the medically needy? Like, I don't understand.
Like, that was your choice, girl.
Yeah.
No, so that's the goal. I still don't know like what competitions there are. That's what Xander's for.
I help guide this like young CrossFitter.
I would like to start like just jumping in like a bunch of like random shit. I did like my first team competition down in San Diego a couple months back over the summer. That was a great time. Got to compete with David. Good workouts, got me hooked again. So, I mean, yeah, I'm excited to see what else there is in the sport.
Very cool. Very cool. So, obviously, you know, your social media is kind of like blown up, and obviously from doing like YouTube reels. So is that when like it started like picking up doing reels, or mainly was it like doing like Spartan races? Like how did that like all of a sudden like just get to where you're at right now?
So I gained like a little bit of traction in Spartan racing where I was like from like 2000 to like 7,000. And then I was probably at like 7K for like 4 years or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then I started making I was like, all right, if I'm making like videos and reels for like all these other people, I was like, why not make them for myself? Mm-hmm. And so I started making the reels. I had one kind of pop off a little bit. Got to like 60,000 views. I was like,
was that the pull-ups one?
No, this was just like my like three position clean work.
Okay. Because I tried finding the original. Yeah. And it was wild because I remember seeing it just start popping off for you. And I was like, is it happening?
I was like, that's all you have to do? And so I started doing that. And then I think I was early, or I was like one of like the first people to start doing like workout videos with like motivational like speeches and text. Mm-hmm. And so when I first started doing those, I mean, they were just going off like 250,000. Then I hit like my first like 1 million video. And then like, it just like the numbers were just like 200,000 to like million plus on like almost all the videos. And dang. So then like my following just went like from this to like, and just like took off out of nowhere. And so I just kind of like stuck with that. So I was like, I like to post the motivational shit. I like to, you know, create the satire stuff that like any people, like anyone like in the fitness space can relate to, not just like CrossFit. And just have fun with that with my friends. And then I started doing like some mic'd up pieces and kind of like fell away from that. But I would like to start doing some more of that just because it's just fun for me. Like right now, like I enjoy making the videos. I don't feel like it's work. I love that I get to like involve my buddies and my friends and like I get to like help promote Jeremy with like the workouts and stuff. And so I'm just having like a lot of fun with it. And
yeah,
I want to keep it that way. I don't want to, I think a lot of people, like when they get like a decent like size following, they decide to get like super professional with it. And then it's just kind of like, all right, this is now just boring and scripted as fuck. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to make sure, like, I just remember like why I'm doing it. And it's just to have fun, to inspire people. It's kind of like inspire people, like kind of like with similar stories with me, with like my whole like sobriety thing, and then just make people fucking laugh and not be a dick.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of people in the comment sections for him that are not very kind.
So that's how I deal with it. So at the end of the day, like, you're going to get your fucking haters. Like, they don't bother me at all. Like, I don't lose sleep over them. And so I'll occasionally like read through a couple of comments. And if I see somebody like talking shit, maybe I'll do like a little bit of research. I'll like go on their page if I can and like look at some of their photos or like read their bio.
Most of them don't even have photos.
Oh, I know.
They're empty.
Yeah. Or I'll like look at their like username tag and something. And I'll just like, my thing is like, I don't want to be a dick to them, but I just want to make them feel so fucking stupid and just like kill them with sass.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just make them feel dumb.
They're hilarious.
And so that's just, as long as I don't want to be a dick back, because if you're a dick back, it just fuels the fire. And then they're like back at you. Mm. So
it's your sassy comments that
just make them feel, just make them feel stupid and come with sass.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's me and my social media right now.
Very just cool.
Working out.
Yeah. Now, you talked about sobriety earlier. So in the beginning of the podcast, I kind of wanted to talk about this a little bit. So when I was doing the research on you, they had an article on like the Spartan Race, like .com or whatever like that, talking about like, I think it was like you started drinking alcohol in high school, then it got like really bad in college. And then
I was like, so I think I had like my first like drunk experience in like the seventh or eighth grade.
Jeez.
Yeah. So I was introduced at like a pretty young age. And then, I mean, would like party in high school and then in college and whatnot. And then it was really like once I stopped like playing sports was like when it got like really bad. Cause I was a competitive drinker and like, I drank heavy and hard and then started like supplementing other things to like fuel the buzz or like, and that kind of thing. And so started getting into like a lot of cocaine. And then I call it the Kid Rock diet, where it's just like Jack Daniels and cocaine.
Jeez.
it's like, honestly, it's not funny, but it is funny at the same time.
So, I mean, I was just kind of like partying hard and then I was just getting into like a lot of trouble and just having like a lot of bad nights, bar fights and whatnot. And so, I mean, I don't really talk about this a whole lot, but I was I got a DUI where I like rolled my truck and it was just like at that moment, it was like I got sat down by like a man that I highly respected. And it was kind of like, all right, you either change your shit right now or you're looking like the realistic options for you are prison, death, or a life without alcohol and where you can like thrive and prosper. Those are like your options. And that just hit home for me. And I mean, I had to do like a little bit of time in jail for that. And that was like another like reason why like I'm not the type of person that like belongs here. Like, I've got like a good head on my shoulders. Like, I mean, well, like this isn't like the life for me. And so like after that is like when I started like really getting into like Spartan racing, and that just kind of helped me create this life where I didn't crave, need, want alcohol. Like, it gave me like a different focus, like a different addiction, I guess you could say, a different outlet. And so I just went like all into that. And I mean, just kind of like a one day at a time type thing. And one day at a time led to like a month, led to a year, led to 2 years, led to four. And now we're at year six. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you ever I've never been sober, even though like I would like to, like I don't drink like heavy, maybe like one drink a week, but just still like the next morning I feel like shit. Mm-hmm. Even after one drink. So do you ever get those like temptations at all, or like kind of like what do you do when like even like let's say Xander's like pounding like a bottle of tequila in front of your face, like how do you handle those days?
He sees what I go through.
Like how do you handle those situations?
So it was very, very difficult at first. So when I first quit, I literally cut off like all of my best friends for like 2 years, except for like maybe like a couple of them that were kind of helping me through the whole process. I'm very, mm-hmm. very grateful for my buddy, Bobby Hetherington. he literally like held my hand through probably like the first 2 years of this whole thing. And he was probably one of the biggest supporters of me where like, cause I still wanted to like have a life. Like I didn't want to just like sit at home and not do shit. And so we would work out together. We would go, I was actually bartending while this was all happening.
typical. That always happens.
Right. And so, I mean, we'd go like see movies and whatnot. Cause I love going to see movies at the theater. And like, at the time, like wanted to be like in the bar scene. So we'd go like shoot pool, like a little bit, but like, that was it. Like he made sure I was like totally comfortable. Mm-hmm. But like I surrounded myself with like people that would support me and love me, like no matter what. And then like, I mean, it just got to a point where I was like, I just don't fucking need this anymore. Like, I don't want it. I mean, you get to see like all your friends drunk and you're like, you guys are fucking like stupid. And so I'm like, is that what I was like? I would hate, you know? And so it's kind of like seeing that, and so many good things just started happening in my life. Like just with a clear head, and just doing the right thing, hard work, you know, graduated college, started getting like really good at Spartan racing, got into like the creative director role, like just so many things were just like happening. And I was just fine and content with not ever having alcohol again. And I tell people this all the time. It's like, I don't say like, I'm not going to drink forever because I can't predict the future. And I don't know like what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day. Mm-hmm. But the way I look at it is like, I wake up and like, I tell myself, like, I'm not going to have a drink today because I can control what I do today. And I'm just not going to drink today. And then when tomorrow comes, I'll make the decision tomorrow. But I mean, I don't have like a 2 year plan, a 4 year plan, a 20 year plan, or plan to do that forever, because I don't know what's going to happen. So mm-hmm. that's just kind of the way I look at it. It's just a day by day. And today I choose not to do it. And I'll probably wake up tomorrow and choose the same thing.
Yep. That's awesome. Very cool. Very cool. So we're getting close to the end. So I got some rapid fire questions. They're not really rapid fire, so you could just take as long as you want on them. So obviously you got the TFX thing going on. Do you have any other goals for like the rest of the year at all for you? It could be personal, CrossFit wise, like pretty much anything.
I want to go back to Iceland again. I would love to go either to Norway or Switzerland as well.
Switzerland's amazing, by the way. Mm-hmm. I've been there for a whole week. It was unreal.
I think my love is in like landscape photography. So I went to Iceland a few months ago and I am just still like hooked on just the beautiful landscape of that country, the waterfalls, the mountains, the mm-hmm. beaches, the northern lights. Like, it's just opened my eyes to like what beauty like this world has to offer and how I can capture it. And so like, I'm just like on fire to like go somewhere else and like just take sick pictures of epic landscapes. So I want to do that. Fitness wise, like I like to compete more, but that's just because I love to do it and it's really fun for me. And then, yeah, just continue to grow the business, help friends grow their businesses, however I can help. And yeah, see my family a little bit.
Very cool. So if you go to Switzerland, you have to go to this place called Verbier.
Okay.
It's about, I think it's like a 3 or 4 hour drive from Zurich. So it's close to France. So they have a huge snowboarding scene. I don't know if you still snowboard, but they have like a huge mountains and stuff like that. So a little backstory. So I'm used to snowboarding in the Northeast, like Vermont, you know, New Hampshire, you know, Massachusetts, whatever. Mm-hmm. So we go up this gondola and it keeps going up and it kind of flattens out. Then it goes up again, flattens out. And I'm sitting there like, holy shit. And then like I'm looking down the hill and I just see this like huge drop and I just like sit there and go, and I just like throw up because my nerves are completely shot. But the views of the mountains are amazing. And it's like you can go from like the top of the mountain to like another area where they have like a whole like hotel and stuff like that, and like an area where other people can ski, and it's a 4 hour drive to get to where we were. Wow. Just because the mountains are so big and stuff like that. So, and then you see people paragliding everywhere. So yeah, it's a dope scene. You got to check that out.
I follow like Switzerland Explore on Instagram. So I want to obviously like see the mountains, like the mountain lakes, but then like all these like little like Renaissance looking towns, like mm-hmm. where there's just, like five little structures, like a ginormous waterfall, like a bunch of like sheep running around the streets. Like that's where I want to be.
Yeah.
I want to go find like all those just cool old ass little towns.
Fun fact, Ryan McKay is going on Friday to Switzerland for the first time. So I will get also updated places for you to go to.
Sick.
All right. Next question. What is your favorite book?
I just started reading, bro. I just read two books. So I've always struggled with reading, and I've come to learn, like, yes, it's like part of like the whole ADHD thing, but also because I was reading shit like I didn't care for. Like, you got to read this like business book to like help you like learn this like business to like.
So I'll try. What is your summary of One Fish, Two Fish, Blue Fish, Red Fish?
I like colors, and I like the fish. I love to fish and I love colors. I tell people I color for a living too. Fun fact. I tell people I take pictures and I color. I just read A Time to Kill or Time to Kill. Shit, I can't remember who the author is. I have it on Goodreads. Hold on. That was a pretty good story. I'm starting another one. I'm kind of halfway through it. It's called Road of Bones.
Okay.
Goodreads.
So you enjoy the murder mysteries, it sounds like.
Yeah. Let me see. My books. Read. Time to Kill by Kyle Swanson. So that was a good one. Other than that, I could not tell you the last book I read.
All good. Well, if you like the fiction stuff, James Patterson has a good book called Toys. I've talked to other people about. So it's like James Bond and Jason Bourne put together in this like futuristic world. It is like
the American or British, because now I'm concerned. For
No. It's I forget where it is, but like it is. It like if you want a quick read like that, that's like I polished that book off in like probably 2 days.
Gotcha.
It's like 300 pages too.
It's called
so
Boys.
Good. No by toys. James, no oh, toys
by James Patterson.
Toys, yes. Patterson. Okay, Toys. So right now I'm reading Road of Bones, and it's getting pretty good. People are getting attacked by wolves.
Nice.
Sick.
Has anyone watched have you started watching The Last of Us on HBO Max yet?
No.
You'll enjoy it. It's like the video games, but it's very like world-ending, like what The Walking Dead could have been before it started into zombie murder porn at the end.
Mm-hmm.
We're currently watching Vikings, and
great
I'm like
show.
I'm a huge Viking guy. I found out like I've got like Viking blood in me. I've got my great 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 grandpa Thor from like Ugg of Dal, Norway.
Of course, you have a great great uncle Thor. Like
we look like we have a picture of him. We look very similar. It's amazing. So I'm very happy about that. So like I just love Vikings, and so I bought like two like a Norse mythology book and then Poetic Edda. Which is like old Icelandic Viking sagas, like transcribed into English so we can read them now. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to read, very difficult to understand. I thought I'd enjoy reading it, but it's kind of like homework at this point. So I'm kind of like,
yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Yeah.
So I was like, oh, fuck. I got the started reading them, but yeah, I got back into the old, I don't know what you call it, fiction or whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, cool. So next question, what is in your gym bag?
Oh, shit. Let's see. You got my belt. I leave my shoes at the gym. I got Xander's belt, actually. He left it for me on accident.
It's his now.
Is it a misfit? Is it a Sharp in the Axe one?
It's a Sharp in the Axe.
How do you like it?
Two-pood.
It's two-pood. So I'm actually, I don't know if I'm allowed to tell everybody this, but we're coming out with our own belts. Me and my lady, Katie, her thing is like stay toxic and mine is like stay beefy. And so we made this
toxic beef,
but we made a belt. Hopefully I'll have it for TFX. Cross my fingers, but I mean, I love their belts. Two-Pood makes really good belts. Mm-hmm. So I've got that. And then I got my jump rope. I've got sweatbands, grips, this guy, tape, Wad and Done tape. Shout out to them. Love that shit. Really just like your CrossFit, like basic shit, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So the next question, it's a new one. So I haven't asked anybody this yet. So if you had a sponsor that you wanted, if there was a company that you wanted to get sponsored with, who would it be?
Who would it be? I mean, that's a tough one. It's like, I like clothes, but I've already got like a lot of clothes. Like, I love 10,000, but like, I've tried to work with them for so long and mm-hmm. they're just not very nice or fun to talk to. I mean, I've talked to like 15 different people in their company and I've gone in like the biggest circles, like trying to work with them, and it's just never worked, unfortunately. I think right now, like maybe like Trifecta with like food. I mean, they've been like giving me a couple free meals, but like it's drastically like brought down my grocery expense. And so I'm very appreciative of that. And it's just like you put in the microwave and you eat, and that makes me very happy.
Yep.
So I'd probably say like food. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So this one's going to be a little deep. So, let's just say, you know, this is the, you know, you're on your deathbed. This is like the last day on earth. You have all your friends around you. How do you want people to know you as?
The dude that just like was always there, that can like make them smile, make them laugh, like just brighten their day. Like I try to make it a point to like call my friends and like, because I mean, you'll get like random text messages and whatnot, but like you don't get like that phone call or whatever. And I'm not expecting like people to call me. So I try to make that effort to try to call Xander like once a month, or try to call Jeremy once a month, try to call my friends once a month, just like have that. I don't call my FaceTime them and just like check in on them. So I don't know, just a dude that just love them and just a bright, fun, loving guy.
All right.
Their life positively.
Hopefully. Yeah. Awesome. Very cool. So last question. So where can people contact you if they have any questions with like, you know, video editing, you know, trying to stay beefy, you know, other ways of finding, you know, another weightlifter that their mom might like?
I don't think that's a thing, but.
Or their father's favorite weightlifter.
Their dad's favorite weightlifter. Yeah. We don't discriminate. We don't discriminate. I guess. I think my email is on my Instagram account, but I mean, I'll check my DMs every once in a while. I actually have like a media account, but I'm just like so occupied with like mine and like giving stuff to other people. I don't really post on that one as well, but like at Mon Media is more of my professional stuff, you guess you could say.
MAUGHN Media at
Instagram. Yeah, Mogin Media. So I guess like
a good mahogany. Yes.
The best is like when I get emails from people that are like, "Hey, stay." Like they think my name is like Stay.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm normally pretty good at like checking DMs, or I think my email is on my Instagram. They can always send me an email. It's what, nickosullyphoto@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And yeah, get in touch with me that way.
Awesome. Well, Nick, thank you for, you know, coming on the show. I appreciate it. I know this is like your second one. Yeah, I would love to have you back on, you know, after like TFX and stuff like that, and see how you're doing and kind of go from there. And maybe Xander won't be here. So I'm just kidding.
I'm just going to be dead, like in Austin in a ditch on the side of a road or something.
Yeah.
Well, probably.
Well, thank you very much. We'll talk later. Okay.
Awesome. Thank you, Thomas. Appreciate it.
All right. Don't hang up. All right. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.